your mom this morning. If you start in the Second Chronicles and you go into Ezra or going to Nehemiah or even Daniel, you pick up where we're going to leave off right here with Second Chronicles. Because a lot's going on right here. A lot of people get bogged down. We went through every one of these kings and we're no way exhausted everything, but just teaching life lessons from these kings. And there's some really good life lessons, ain't there, from these kings. The Bible says we're kings and priests. So if these folks had, some of them had successes, and some of them messed up really bad in their lives. We've seen what happens with their kids. Some of them had real horrible parents, but they end up being a wonderful person serving the Lord. Some of them had wonderful moms and dads and end up just being a pure reprobate. So there's a lot of lessons in here for us, and lessons about who you get involved with in your life, what you get. Solomon got involved with wrong people, messed his life up. Different kings aligned themselves with people that messed them. They put God a lot of times on the back burner, messed their lives up. There's just so many life lessons. But I'm going to read today in 2 Chronicles 36, and I'm going to be talking from a lot from Jeremiah, and you'll find out in the reason why. I'm going to read through this real fast, and you kind of get the viewpoint. Chapter 36, verse 1, then the people of the land took Jehoaz, the son of Josiah. Remember, I went over Josiah last week. Very, very good king, very good man. Served the Lord, stuck his nose into something he shouldn't have stuck his nose into. Got himself shot, got himself killed. And that's what happened with him. And the same thing with our life. We got to be careful what we get ourselves entangled up with. And they made him king in his father's stead in Jerusalem. Now, hey, look here. Joaz was 23 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 3 months. That's all he lasted, 3 months in Jerusalem. And the king of Egypt put him down at Jerusalem and condemned the land in 100 talents of silver and a talent of gold. That's 75 pounds of gold is what that is. That's a lot of gold. 3.4 metric tons of silver. And the king of Egypt made Elkim, his brother, king over Judah and Jerusalem, and changed his name to Jehoiakim. And Necho took Jehoaz, his brother, and carried him to Egypt. Remember who got involved with Necho, the Pharaoh, who shouldn't have got involved with him? It was Josiah, these boys' daddy. So he comes down there and just puts him down, condemns the land, pretty much takes the land, just walks in and is taking this stuff. God's bringing judgment upon them. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. Against him came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and bound him in fetters to carry him to Babylon. You know who else is alive right now during this time? You know who else is a young man during this time? Daniel the prophet is living at this time. And he also gets carried away. So like I said, you can go pick up in the book of Daniel. It's when you start with Daniel chapter 1, picks up where this right here happened. So Daniel's a little boy, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are there too. Nebuchadnezzar also carried the vessels of the house of the Lord to Babylon and put them in his temple at Babylon. Remember when Nebuchadnezzar got the vessels? His son Belshazzar got the vessels. Right here's where they got them from. They took them from the temple. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and his abominations which he did and that which was found in him, behold, they're written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. And Jehoiachin, his son, reigned in his stead. So one after the other. It's Josiah's boys. Look at this. Jehoiachin was 8 years old, an 8-year-old little boy, when he began to reign. And he reigned 3 months and 10 days in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Did you catch that? An 8-year-old boy already doing evil in the sight of the Lord. The Bible says a child is known by his ways, known by his doings. An 8-year-old wicked child. And that's why I say if we don't get these kids' hearts and minds while they're young, I'm telling you, the time they get 10, 11, 12-year-old nowadays, they're just about reprobated because they've seen so much trash on these phones and so much wickedness that it pollutes their hearts and their minds. It's very, very, very important that we keep track of what these kids are doing. Now look here. And when the year was expired, look what happened. King Nebuchadnezzar sent and brought him to Babylon with the goodly vessels of the house of the Lord, and made Zedekiah, his brother, king over Judah and Jerusalem. So he gets took down. He gets carried off with Daniel and the boys. He makes Zedekiah, his brother, king over Judah and Jerusalem. So one after the other, this happens. Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, a 21-year-old man. Now he's reigned 11 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah, the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. Jeremiah was the preacher during all this mess, folks. Jeremiah, the prophet, was the preacher. These folks have had some pretty good preachers. I mean, you can go all the way back. They had Elijah. They had Elisha. They had Isaiah, the prophet. And they've got Jeremiah. Boy, God put some powerhouse people to preach to these folks. Why? Because God loves them. So look here. God raised up Jeremiah. The whole book of Jeremiah is his messages that he preached, Brother Jason, to this crowd right here. The whole book is of his messages. And we're going to get into one of them sermons in a minute. He also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God, but stiffened his neck, hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the chief of the priests, watch this, all and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes, and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. God, because he had compassion, sent preachers up to them. The Bible says rising up betimes. What's betimes mean? It means getting up early. I mean, God always starts early on his people, warning his people, because he had compassion on his people and his place. He had compassion on his people and his place. Look what they did in verse 16. But they mocked the messengers of God. And we're going to get into one of them that mocked in a minute. And despised his words and misused his prophets. They mocked the preacher. They despised them and they misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people till there was no remedy. Boy, that's sad when God gets to a place. He says, this is it, and there's no help for you. I'm bringing judgment. There's no remedy. There's no medicine that can fix this. You've got an incurable disease. You're going to die, and there's no remedy. That's what God is saying, spiritually speaking, to these people. Therefore, look what he done. He brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of the sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. God brought them into judgment. God brought all this on to these people. And if God brought it on his people and had them carried into captivity and judgment, why would we even question God and what's going on in our country now and going on in our world now? If God done it to them because of their slothfulness, because of their abominations, you don't think he's not going to do it to us? And you as a person, me as a person, if I turn away from God and I get to be wicked, well, God wouldn't do that to me. Well, this is one place, and I've read this over and over, how God brings judgment upon people. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. They burnt the house of God. They burnt the church house down and break down the wall of Jerusalem, burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels, and them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon. You can pick that up in Ezra and Nehemiah, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. Daniel was part of this, carried off. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was part of this, carried off. And you can read about that and pick that up in the book of Daniel. Why? But the Bible says to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of, here it is again, Jeremiah. Until the land had enjoined her Sabbath for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years, 70 years, what they was carried off into captivity. That's all Jeremiah preached to these people. We're going to be carried off. We're going to be carried off. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. The whole book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah said the harvest is past and the summer is ended and we're not saved. He said God's done what he's done. And Jeremiah preached 40 years. Nobody was ever converted, but he still got up and preached. He wept. He tried to quit and everything else. That's who's preaching, folks, to this crowd right here in 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Jeremiah said this in Jeremiah 3:15, I will give you pastors according to mine heart, God says, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. God's chosen method, listen, God's chosen method to speak to you and to speak to me is from a preacher, from a pulpit. And it ain't never, ever going to change. Never going to change. According to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Well, I know more than that preacher. You might, but you don't have the authority to say that, right? You don't have the authority to take that. God puts us in a place and he says, I'm going to raise up pastors, I'm going to raise up preachers to feed you with knowledge and understanding. When we come to the house of God on Sundays, Wednesday nights, what we get knowledge and understanding from the Word of God, right? The Bible says the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers rising up betimes. God sent them early, rising up, sending because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It don't say foolish preaching, the foolishness of preaching. Paul said in Romans 10:14, how then shall they call on him who they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a what? A preacher. How in the world is he going to preach except they be sent? Well, anybody can get up there and do that? No, they can't neither. No, they can't. Listen to this. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. They had the preacher. They had a preacher man in Jeremiah preaching to them. Listen, this was going to happen. What are we doing here this Sunday? We're going to preach to people. We're going to plead with people. We're going to show them from the Word of God what God's Word says. And some's going to take in, and some's going to take it in, and some ain't going to take it in. But that's God's prescribed method. So what was the problem with this people in 2 Chronicles 36? And on back, Brother Randall, what's the problem with these people right here? These people, and Jeremiah's going to address it in one of his messages to these people. These people, they wanted to come. They had a temple. I read it to you. They had a temple, and they came out, and they worshiped God. They really worshiped God, but there was absolutely no repentance whatsoever in their worship. And you can't worship God without any kind of repentance. Now, the mindset of people today, Brother Chester, about worship is let's get us a band up here. Let's all sit out there. Let's dim the lights down, and let's get everybody's flesh worked up. That ain't worshiping God. You can do that at a Skinner concert down here. The Spirit of God ain't there neither. Listen to me. That's not worshiping God. You have to have a repentant heart in worshiping God. Then, watch this. Jeremiah said this to these people. This is what Jeremiah told them. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Here's what God told Jeremiah to tell them. Amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. One of the messages that Jeremiah preached to these people was this. And God said, go stand at the gates. So Jeremiah went out to these temple in 2 Chronicles 36 at the gates, John, where everybody come in. He stood at the gates, and as he stood at the gates, he cried, amend your ways, amend your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. That's what he preached to them. Well, what does amend mean? Here's what amend means. Amend means get things right with God. Get things that's not right in your life right with God. And God says, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Jeremiah stood at the gates in 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and preached, amend your ways. Amend your ways. Amend your ways. Get things right with God, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Ain't that what goes on in from the preaching of the pulpit? Amend your ways. Amend your ways. There's things in our life that ain't right. Let's get it right so we can have God dwell with us here in our church house, because nobody's going to get saved if we're not right. Amen. If we're not right, nobody's gonna get saved. We got to have enough conviction here so somebody can be saved. Jeremiah's saying, amend your ways. Here's what Jeremiah's saying to these people. Because they would come in the gates and they would worship and they would do their thing and they would leave and it was just a big joke. That's what it was. Ain't it sad that in 2024, the church, for the most part, we're just a big joke. We're just a big joke. Take it or leave it, big joke. Here's what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 5, 1 through 3. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. That means watch where you're walking. Look at how your life is going. Keep thy foot. Keep means to guard. Watch thy foot. How you been walking? And be more ready. Here's what Solomon says. And be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. You ever been to church and seen somebody give a sacrifice of a fool? I have many times. Because you know they ain't walking right. You know they ain't doing right. And then they'll walk in here and call, or walk into church and try to get up and say something and show everybody in there. Everybody in there knows, well, they ain't half right. Am I the only one that thinks like that? I don't think I am. I think I just say it. You think that way, but I say it. I mean, you do think that way. You ain't going to say nothing to me, but you're going to get in your car and you're going to look over at your husband or wife and say, they ain't right. Now they're in there acting all that way. Huh? That's what you do, ain't it? Or you're going to go home, eat your hot dog, and you're going to say, I can't believe she got up and done that or he got up and done that, knowing he ain't half right. That's a sacrifice of a fool. That's what they do. Now, you know what goes on, right? That's what Jeremiah's saying. Here's what he says. He says, be not rash with thy mouth. Don't run your mouth. Let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. We ought to be careful what we get in here and say before God in the congregation of the saints. For God is in heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. That's what Solomon says. Amen. When you come in the house of God, we ought to be more ready to hear. Because faith come by hearing. Hearing. It's good to read. We ought to read the Word of God. And we ought to be more real familiar with the Word of God. But baby, we better hear what God's got to say to us through the pulpit, don't we? That's the way God speaks. And God's not interested, dear people, in our worship when we have unrepentant and living in sin. That's what these folks is doing right here. They're living in sin. You know who else God had in the wings to preach to these people? Guess who else God had waiting in the wings to preach to these people when they got carried off? Ezekiel. Boy, he had a powerhouse for these people. He had Isaiah the prophet during the time of Manasseh. Then he's got Jeremiah here. Way back yonder, he had Elijah and Elisha. And then when they got carried off into captivity, he had sitting there waiting in the wings Ezekiel the prophet, who wrote the book of Ezekiel. Here's what Ezekiel said. Here's what Ezekiel said about this crowd in Ezekiel 33. Also, thou son of man, God said, I'm going to tell you something, preacher. The children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses and speak one to another, everyone to his brother, saying, God said, come here, Ezekiel. You're preaching these people in captivity that just got carried off for doing this stuff. He said, they still talk about you in the walls. He said, here's what they're saying. Come, I pray ye, and hear what is the word of the Lord that cometh forth from the Lord. Here's what they're telling about Ezekiel. Man, you got to go down there and hear Ezekiel preach. Boy, he gets red-faced, slobbered, hacks. Man, he tells it like it is. And they come unto thee as people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. That's what he says to Ezekiel. He said, they like to hear you. It moves them. They say, they invite people to come out and hear you, and they'll sit there and amen you, but they ain't going to do it. And that's why they sit for 70 years in captivity. For with their mouth they show much love, God says, but their heart goeth after their covetous. Boy, if that don't describe a lot of people, that right there hits it, don't it? And that's why they're in such a mess. And Jeremiah preaches this, and Ezekiel preaches this. They were just going in and going through the motions. No hearts ready to repent. No change of nothing. They just going in and appeasing their conscience because that's what they thought they were supposed to do. And it just soothed their conscience from one day to the next. Boy, that's sad, ain't it? So they was playing, but they really wasn't on the team. Now, I found this article, and it describes perfectly what's going on right here. There was a Virginia college sophomore named Dan Foley. And he wanted to be a part of his school's men's basketball team, Division I Virginia. If that meant to fake his way onto the ball court, he wanted to be part of the team. If he had to fake it to get on the court. So he noticed all of his team's assistant coaches wore the same suit with a bright orange tie. So we paid attention. He said, now all them assistants down there wear the same suit and a bright orange tie. So before Virginia's conference championship game against Duke on March 16, 2014, old Danny and his friends went searching for some cheap knockoff clothes. He found everything he needed at Walmart, including a suit jacket, pants, dress shoes, socks, a white shirt, and an orange tie. That's what he found. The next morning, he spent both the cheapest ticket he could find to get into the conference game. $30 is what he spent for a ticket, way up in the nosebleed section of the place. He got in the door. During a TV timeout, he made a move. He marched past an usher onto the basketball court unnoticed. Here's what he said. He said, I walked right behind the cheerleaders and onto the court and joined the team's huddle. He did this. Following the team's win, they knocked off Duke that year. He went for even a bigger thrill. When the game's final buzzer sounded with Virginia defeating Duke, Danny joined all Virginia and the teammates in the handshake line and had his buddy posted up. And as all that confetti fell, he was caught on camera shaking hands with Coach Krzyzewski, Coach K, the legendary coach of Duke. Photos from the end of the game show Danny wearing a championship T-shirt over his suit, smiling in the middle of the confetti-covered arena after celebrating with the team. Danny was discovered, finally somebody noticed him, discovered by a member of Virginia's staff. But he quickly climbed over the railings and disappeared into the stands. And this story reminds us of it's just a harmless college prank, but it is possible that we're attempting, I believe, something more dangerous right here this morning. Some people just bought the suit and the tie and are acting like they're joining on the team. But they're really not on the team. They're in here to get in the handshake line, but they really never sacrificed to be on the team. They have no business being on the court, but they just have blended in. That makes sense to everybody? That's what these people were doing right here. And that's what a lot of people are doing. They've got the look down, especially in Eastern Kentucky. I mean, we know how to sing. We know we're supposed to raise our hand. We know what, we know how we're supposed to react. But I'm afraid that a lot of people are just kind of joining the team, but they're really not part of the team. They've really never put anything. Well, that'll bring conviction to us right there, shouldn't it? Yeah. These people were worshiping, but they had a totally unrepentant heart. And I'm going to tell you something else. They were putting their trust in the wrong things. And I don't know why that they thought this, but they thought, well, we got a temple here. And God told us this way back in Genesis that, this is your land and this is your people. And I'm going to always bless you and all this stuff. And their whole trust was in their temple. All their trust, Goebel, was in the things that they had all around them, but their trust wasn't in the Lord. My trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. My trust isn't anything I've done. My trust isn't anything that's building. My trust is in the living Jesus Christ that sits on the throne. And they were going around and around. And so Jeremiah told them, in one of his messages, he said in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 4, he says, trust ye not in lying words. Now this is what Jeremiah says. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. He said, that's all y'all talk about, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. And it's like I preached last Sunday with that man that laid by the pool of Bethesda. He's more worried about what's going on in the pool than the Lord. And he laid there 38 years. He was so caught up in activity around the pool, in the pool, that he's missing Jesus all the way. These people here are so caught up in their temple that Solomon had built, so caught up in the vessels inside the temple that they're missing the Lord. How many today are focusing on so much of a building, what they're a part of, or what's going on around the temple or in the church house, and they're missing the Lord. And so these people here were more focused on what's going on around them. Their trust was in that and not on the Lord. Listen, my trust ain't in these four walls right here, folks, and this property right here. My folks, My trust ain't in who's the president of the United States. It don't really matter. God's judgment's going to come on us. It is already coming on us. We're being invaded on every side because we have sinned against an almighty God in this nation. And we've sinned against him for years and years. And judgment, dear people, is coming upon us. Jeremiah also preached this. He said, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace. He said, when there is no peace. Now, Jeremiah's preaching this stuff to this crowd right here. He said, were they ashamed when they had committed abominations? Look how many times they've committed abominations. Jeremiah says, were they ashamed when they had committed abominations? Nay. He said, they were not all ashamed, neither could they blush. They couldn't even get embarrassed about nothing. Boy, it's a day we're living. Ain't nobody ashamed about nothing anymore. They don't blush about nothing. Just go to Walmart after church. Man, they're all around. Ain't no shame in nobody's game anymore. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Now, here's what Jeremiah said. And he's pleading with these people in 2 Chronicles 36. He's preaching to them. Jeremiah says, listen. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. Ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Jeremiah said, what are you doing? Get back to what you're supposed to be doing from the get-go. You've got way away from the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, and you're going after this foolishness. Jeremiah says, seek out the old paths and get in that way. They say when a deer is in the woods running, a mama deer, it's got a path, a certain path that it goes guard. Some of them, they know more. I can't hunt gobble. I'm too lazy. I'd rather go to Save-A-Lot by my meat. But they say when a deer goes, a mama deer goes, that if its little one will get off the path a little bit, that mama deer will sit there and stomp and snort on that path and to try to bring that baby back, because it knows if that baby deer gets off on a trail it don't need to be on, it's going to get in trouble. So it'll stand there and it'll stomp on the old path and it'll snort to bring the baby back. God uses things like that in nature to teach us, because we're so sottish, as the Bible says. We're so slow of learning. Folks, what we're doing right here is the old pathway. We're just teaching and preaching the Bible. No smoke and mirrors, no entertainment, just preaching and teaching the Word of God as God put it to them. And that Jeremiah said, if you just go back to that, you'll find rest for your souls. But you know what they said? We will not walk therein. Hey, we ain't doing that way. We don't want to go down there and hear that old mess. My goodness, we ain't going to hear all that. And he said, and also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. We're not going to listen. We don't care what you got to say, what you preachers got to say. You're just old fogies. You're just out of touch. You know, somebody was telling us this. Said, oh, y'all need all that hell preaching on Easter around there. One of these fellas that's got the guns everywhere, and he's a man, supposed to be a man's man, coming on Sunday and Easter. Said, oh, y'all don't need all that old hell preaching down there. Well, wait a minute. You want a man's man for your politician, but you want one of these woke sissy boy preachers, though. Is that what you want? You want somebody to coddle you and pet on you during the church service time? Get out of here, man. Yeah. Huh? I want somebody to tell me straight, don't you? I want somebody to rub me and tell me straight like it is. They said, we will not hearken. Bible says in Proverbs 28:6, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whosoever walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Why did I tell you that for? Because Jeremiah said to this crowd in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things. And he don't stop there. Desperately wicked. Who can know it? How many people you run into? Well, now, me and God know my heart. My brother Kevin, me and God know my heart. And I said, no, God knows your heart. You don't know your own. Your heart's wicked. My heart's wicked, desperately wicked. And I can be deceived in my own heart. I mean, I'm sure people say that. Now, they ain't supposed to judge. Now, God knows my heart and everything. Huh? That's scary that God knows their hearts. But them, they were standing there, Gert, and they were saying, now, Jeremiah, you stand at the gates, and we're not going to hear. They even slapped him in the mouth one time, said, we're not going to hear this, because here you are standing there preaching, and God knows our hearts. That's what they said, wasn't it, Goble? You laugh because people's told you that before. Huh? Or you've said that before to somebody. When you was backslid and wasn't right with God. Oh, God knows my heart. Yeah, God knows our hearts. Jeremiah said, yeah, your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But you know what? They wouldn't listen to him. They wouldn't have a thing. They wouldn't hear a thing he's got to say. And people is the same way today. We're that way. I'm that way. I am that way. I know you're not that way. Pray for me. Because I'm that way sometimes. I won't hear it. I get mad and make excuses and everything else. But God says, you're not right here. Get this. Amend your ways, Kevin. Amend it, buddy. Get it right now. And God will put up a preacher. Or I'll listen to a preacher. And it'll get me. And I got to mend my way. I got to mend. So I got to get some things right with God. And thank God for that. Amen? Amen. But they're getting ready to get carried off into captivity. And they got a powerhouse in Jeremiah who's crying his eyes out. Preaching to these people, and they ain't gonna hear. They ain't gonna hear. Man, you talking about frustrating. It ain't no wonder the man wanted to quit. But he said, I can't quit. He said, because your word is shut up in my bones and I can't stay. He said, I can't quit. So, what was wrong with these people? They was in there worshiping, but they didn't have a repentant heart. They was chasing after wrong things, wasn't they? They was trusting in wrong things. And here's something else. They had a wrong purpose for God's house. What are we doing here this morning? What's the purpose in this? The purpose in this is that we come to church, we hear God's word, we fellowship with the Lord and fellowship with each other, and then we go home and take that and get in our own devotional daily lives, and then we come back. That's the purpose of God's house. I mean, that's try to outreach and reach everybody. Listen, I'm gonna say something. I've said it before. The church ain't for lost people. The church is for saved people. Now, we want lost people in to be saved. But if God's people ain't right, they ain't going to come in and get right. They ain't going to come in and get saved. We come, the church is for God's people. We want lost people in. We want them to hear God's word. But the purpose of God's house is for us to come together, worship the Lord in spirit and truth with a repentant heart. Don't focus, trust, learn, get stronger in our faith and trusting in the Lord, not in our building or in each other, but in the Lord. That's the whole purpose here. And here's what Jeremiah said about their focus on their house. Jeremiah wrote a whole book. It's in the Bible, the book of Jeremiah. A whole lot of sermons in there. Here's what Jeremiah told them in Jeremiah 7, 11, 16 about their house. He said, is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Well, didn't Jesus say that same thing? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. But go ye now into my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. Well, what happened in Shiloh? Well, here's what happened in Shiloh. Eli was the priest in Shiloh. And guess what sat down in Shiloh? The Ark of the Covenant sat in Shiloh. And the Philistines was coming down against Shiloh in the book of 1 Samuel. And they had a fellow down there by the name of Samuel. And they had some crooked preachers, Hophni and Phinehas, in the temple, sleeping with the girls, stealing the money. What ain't what nobody right. And so the Philistines was coming down. They said, that's all right. We got the Ark of the Covenant. So they picked up the Ark of the Covenant. They went right with God. And guess what happened? You know what happened? The Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant, killed everybody there, and took the Ark of the Covenant, set up in the house of Dagon, their false god. That happened in Shiloh. But they had the Ark of the Covenant, but they didn't have God. You can have a church, but you don't have God. You can have a Bible and not have God. You can know some religion to talk, some scriptures, and not have God. That ain't going to do you no good. You better have God. Amen. Yeah. Jeremiah said, look here, go back and look what happened to Shiloh. I'm begging you. Go back and look what happened to Shiloh, because that's what's going to happen to us here. You think they went back and looked to Shiloh? That happened to them back there. That ain't going to happen to us. Ain't that the way we are? Well, that happened to them way back yonder. That won't happen to us. That won't happen to, us. We're going to find out what's going to happen to us around here. Huh? We're going to find out real fast what happened to us. What's going to happen to us around here. And I don't even know if that's going to wake up some people's eyes because they're so deceived. But go now, he said, unto my place which is in Shiloh. Then he says in verse 13, and now, Because you have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 11 through 16. Here's what Jeremiah tells them. Thus saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking. There's be times. He says this, but ye heard not, and I called you, but you answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto this place, which I gave to you and your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Therefore, now here's what the worst part about this is. Therefore, pray not. Pray not thou for this people. Neither lift up cry nor prayer for them. Neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. Did you hear that? God told Jeremiah three times in the book of Jeremiah, don't pray for them people. Don't even pray for them. I ain't going to hear you. Don't bring you intercession to me. I'm not going to hear them. Well, my God wouldn't do that. No, your God probably wouldn't, because that ain't the God of the Bible, if that's what you think. The God of the Bible says, don't pray. I'm not going to hear. And Jeremiah cried. God said, it's over. Now listen to me. You get in bad shape. People get in bad shape when God quits burdening you to pray for somebody. Amen. That's solemn to hear, ain't it? People, listen. God ever took a burden from you, you pray for somebody, and all of a sudden God just take it from you. Just moves it from you not to pray for them anymore. It's happened to me about praying for people. God said, don't pray for them no more. I said, Lord, burden somebody. If it's me, then it's me. But if it ain't, but will you burden somebody to pray for them? If it's me, just burden somebody else to pray for them. I'm trying to give us some truth this morning. God says, don't even pray for them. Don't even make intercession for them, because judgment's coming. That's scary, ain't it? Because they had offended a holy God. Don't preach that way, you offend me. Well, we don't care if we offend God, do we, Wesley? Nobody cares if they offend God anymore. Don't preach that way, you offend me. Bless, we need offended, don't we, more and more. He says in Jeremiah 7, same chapter, for the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to pollute it. Then I told you who they have in the wings getting ready to preach. Ezekiel. Ezekiel said, then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Well, who's Tammuz? If you do a little research in history into who Tammuz was, he said, there's women sat weeping for Tammuz. Tammuz was the wife of Nimrod. You've heard of Nimrod, huh? That's who his wife's name was, Tammuz. And she was a wicked woman. And Nimrod died, and she got pregnant after he died, and didn't want everybody to think that she'd been catting around on Nimrod. So she got pregnant, and she had a child, and named the child Semiramis. Tammuz did. And she said, that's the son of God. That's Nimrod reincarnated. That's Nimrod. They viewed Nimrod as God. So they said Semiramis was the son of God. Back in Genesis, Tammuz did that. So she was the mother of God. That's who she was. So they set up something to worship her and worship Semiramis, who was the son of God, that they said. You say, that's the craziest thing I ever heard. Well, it went on down through history. And in Greece, they called her Aphrodite. And in Rome, they called her Venus, and her child was Jupiter. And in Egypt, she was called Isis, and her had a son that they called the son of God named Horus. And in Assyria, she's called Ishtar. In Ephesus, she was called Diana, right? And they had a temple there, which was one of the seven wonders of the world. The Queen of Heaven and Mother of God is still worshipped today, the Virgin Mary, and the Mother of God. I'm trying to show you where some of this wickedness, it's always, ain't nothing new under the sun. And Ezekiel said, they sit there weeping for Tammuz. God said, go look at that foolishness going on. These people won't never learn a thing. That was the shape that they was in. And God's going to bring judgment. And little Daniel is right here in the midst of this. And Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego is right in the midst of this. Thank God God always reserves a remnant, don't he? They're right there. They're going to be carried off. Ezekiel's going to be carried off because God's going to have him a preacher there in Ezekiel. God's going to raise up Daniel. God always speaks to his people, even though they might just be a few. God always speaks to his people. But we as God's people, we don't need to turn back, folks. We don't need to turn back. We need to keep marching and pushing and marching forward. When Julius Caesar landed on the shores with the Roman legions, they landed over on these shores. And when he got everybody up on the hill, on the cliff, he told them to look behind him. And he had all the ships that they sailed across them burnt. He said, look y'all, look y'all. They all looked. So there was no way they could retreat. They either had to march on and win or march on and die. There was no retreating back. Folks, Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Because when you look back, you're going to make a crooked roll. You're going to trip and fall. Us as God's people need to just keep on marching forward for the glory of God. Amen. Let's stand if you can, you will, you want to. I see a crowd gathering. Thank God Brother Wesley Miller's here and his family this morning from the big town of Irvine, Kentucky. Praise the Lord. Hope these messages help you. I've been praying. I might get in the book of Psalms next Sunday. We finished these kings up. We went through all these kings and lessons from these kings. The verse that I like to pull out of this, 2 Chronicles 36, is at verse 15. The Lord God, their father, sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes early because he had